I'm reading tonight from the sixth chapter of the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 8. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put up on his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. In the book of Job, just one verse of Scripture in the 13th chapter, of the book of Job, I read one verse of Scripture, Job chapter 13, verse 12. The Bible says, Your remembrances are likened to ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. I want to preach tonight on removing the ashes and fanning the flames. Hallelujah. The first thing I need to tell you, we are involved with a holy God. The altar here is a holy altar. The fire that falls, and when I speak of fire, I'm speaking of spiritual fire. It is a holy fire. The sacrifice that's laid upon the altar, when that fire falls, that sacrifice will be a holy sacrifice. For Paul said in Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we have a holy God, we have a holy altar, we have holy fire, we have a holy sacrifice. But as with all fires, there's always ashes. And something must be done with the ashes. It is possible to have so many ashes from yesterday's fire that you cannot have a flame today. There is not much nutrition in ashes. Job said, Our remembrances or our memories are as ashes. Memories are a good cake to nibble on, but you'll starve to death today trying to feed off of yesterday's memories. Oh, Isaiah rebuked one of the tribes and said, He feedeth on ashes. As I've said, there's not much nutrition in ashes. Those that have burned wood for heat in your stove, you know, no matter how great yesterday's fire was, if you want fire today, you must carry out yesterday's ashes and fan the fire. You see, some are trying to warm their hands by a fire that went out over 40 years ago. There is no warmth. Oh, yes, the church was designed to keep the fire burning. But we spend more time stirring ashes of yesterday than we do fanning the flames for the fire today. I'm going to preach to you tonight, so hold on. Some folks end up just being a holiness ash pile. Oh, that's one thing I don't want to be. Oh, yes, I remember great moves of the Spirit in the days gone by. I remember how God has blessed and helped us. But let me tell you something. Memories is not going to keep the flame burning today. God speaks to Moses and says, Command Aaron and his sons, this is the way I want the burnt offering carried out. The fire shall ever be burning all night until the morning. Then the priest shall put on his linen breeches and take up the ashes beside the altar. He shall put off those garments and put on other garments and shall carry forth the ashes unto a clean place without the camp. But he cannot stay out there at that clean place, for his principal job is not carrying out ashes. His principal job is keeping the fire burning upon the altar. For the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never, never, never go out. Listen to me, and I want to hurry and get through this as quick as I can. But the Bible said, where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. Oh, yes. I can remember days when we brought all of the saints of God would pray before they come to church. And they'd bring some wood to put on the fire. Now, lots of times a preacher, and sometimes he's just about nothing more than an ash pile. And we don't have much fire in the church. But I want to deal with three ash piles, and then I will be finished. Number one, I want to deal with the ash pile of yesterday's memories. I know our young people must be getting tired of hearing us say, "I remember when." Oh, we had a revival and this happened and that happened. Oh, and if we do have a revival, or if we do have a move of the Spirit, some of the old timers sitting around stirring ashes and say, "Bless God, this is nothing. You ought to see what we had back in the past." And what we do is we lose what God is trying to do for us today while we stare yesterday's ashes. But the fire must ever be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. Now today we had fried chicken, I believe it was, at the lunch. I enjoyed that because all preachers that don't backslide usually like fried chicken. But listen to me. What if I'd have went down to that dining hall and Brother Kingwood met me and said, "Now last year we had a fried chicken dinner here and man, it was wonderful. So good. So wonderful. It satisfied our hunger. And if you don't believe it," and he dumps a big pile of bones and says, "Here's a chicken bones to prove it." That's not going to impress me very much. I want to know, what are we having today? And listen to me. We're not going to impress these young people talking about yesterday's ashes. We've got to have the fire burning upon the altar in this day and in this hour. Listen to the old man preach for a little while. Hear what I want to tell you tonight. No, the great saints of God are wonderful and thank God for them in the past. And draw what strength you can from those of the past. But I want to tell you right now, it's just ashes. And I don't want to discredit any of those great preachers of the past, but all of their sermons is just ashes. You see, we're not living in the 40s and 50s and 60s. We're living in one of the most wicked, sinful days I have ever seen. You know, it used to be bobby socks and rock around the clock. And I had a few old snuff dippers in the church that I had to deal with. But now, my friend, it's acid rock and Satan worship and homosexuality and divorce and misguided youth. Hey, we don't need yesterday's ashes. What we need to do is get to the altar and fan the flames until the fire burns once again upon the altar. Hallelujah. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Hallelujah. God has visited the holiness people in the past. But I'm going to tell you something. I know because I preached, like the young man that preached today, Brother Tracy Boyd, Brother Tracy Holden, Brother Tracy, did you know I preached to his grandfather? And then I preach to his father and mother. Then I preach to him, and I'm preaching to his children now. Oh yes, I know a little bit about the past. I'm going to tell you something. If we resurrected some of them old time preachers and put them in the pulpit this day and hour, facing the sins that we're facing and facing the opposition we're facing, it would surprise me if they could do a very good job pastoring. Hey, listen to me. We're facing new things, new spirits, new powers of darkness, and there's only one thing that's going to work, and that's the fire burning upon the altar. The fire shall ever be burning on the altar. It shall never, 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 never go out. Sometimes we make our young people feel like their experiences are inferior. Oh yes, we were in a church some time ago. Was old minister, he meant well. He's a little older than me. And he got up and said, I'm so glad I got saved back when folks really did get saved. And I'm so glad I received sanctification back when folks really did get sanctified. And I'm so glad I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost back when people really did get the Holy Ghost. And the message he was sending to every young people, every young person, is this: there's something wrong with your experience. But listen to Brother Rich, if you've been to the same fountain of blood that I went to, if you go to the same place I went for cleansing, you'll be just as clean, just as holy, just as pure as I was when I was saved nearly 50 years ago. Hey, listen, if you're filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, it'll be the same power and the same fire that we received back in the past. There's nothing inferior about your experience. Just get to the altar and fan the flame and fan the fire. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Don't judge my message by some message you heard me preach 20 or 25 years ago. A lot of people here already mentioned some of the messages that they heard me preach many years ago. Well, thank God, draw what strength you can from them, but they're just ashes. I said, they're just ashes. I had to get out here this afternoon, get to this altar. I had to fan the flame, fan the fire. Oh, yes. I was preaching up in Ohio, and there was a man came to my meeting, and we had three men in the altar seeking salvation. This man come up to me and said, Brother Rich, I need to talk to you. I said, well, we got people here in the altar we're praying with. When the altar service is over, I'll talk to you. We prayed on. Pretty soon he came over and said, maybe you don't remember me, but said, I came a long ways to hear you preach, and I need to talk to you tonight before I leave. I've got a long ways to go back home. I said, well, brother, we're praying with men to be saved right now, and that's the most important thing there is. So we kept on praying and praying, and finally these fellas slowed down some, and he come over and tapped me on the shoulder, said, I'm going to have to be going pretty soon, but I really need to speak to you. So I thought that maybe he had a problem in his marriage or a problem in his family, and so I said, okay, and I went into a side room. He said, I just wanted to tell you that I heard you 25 years ago up in Richlands, Virginia, when you preached that message on Go Chicken Go. Yeah, I preached it. Don't you fellas fool with it. It's too deep for y'all. Hallelujah. But I preached on Go Chicken Go. And here I am trying to get a move that night, and he's stirring 25-year-old ashes while I'm up trying to preach and receive something from the Lord. Hear me tonight. We've got to have an up-to-date experience. Sure, I've held some experiences. I've preached over 300 camp meetings, and I've held some experiences. But what these young people want to know, hey, old white-headed preacher, is the fire still burning? Well, I want to tell you this. Amen. There's snow up here on the roof, but the fire is still burning down inside. I've got to get to the altar. Fan the fire. Fan the flame. And the fire will leap up again. Hallelujah. One preacher traveled. You know him, a renowned preacher. He traveled for 3 years preaching out of a book on Azusa Street. And That's okay. I have that book in my library. Oh yes, I know about history of the holiness churches. I know the history about Pentecost. But hey, come on. We're not living on Azusa Street. We're living in a real world where we need today's flames. And thank God the Holy Ghost did fall on Azusa Street in 1906. But as far as these young people are concerned, that's just ashes. But there's still a Holy Ghost that's alive, that's on fire, that will set your soul aflame like Brother King preached. Oh yes, and it will bless you and help you. Oh hallelujah. If we want today's flame in 2004, we must carry out yesterday's ashes. And then we must fan the flame. Give honor to whom honor is due. Yes. Honor those old time preachers. Like over there at Broxton. Old Brother Jones and Brother A.J. Giddens and those great men. Honor them. But I'm going to tell you something. Their ministry's over now. And it's just ashes. And we've got a new generation that's coming up. Oh, he told them, said, carry those ashes out. Put them in a clean place. But you get back to that temple. You get back to the house of God. And you put wood on the fire. It shall be a perpetual burning. The fire shall ever be burning on the altar. It shall never, never, never go out. The next ash pile I want to deal with is the ash pile of old hurts and misunderstandings. Boy, that's put the damper on the fire many times in many places. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Listen to me. The old hurts and misunderstandings. There's been enough bad things happen in the holiness churches. Oh, to stifle the fire. There's been enough bad things happen to write many volumes of books. But it's not our job to compile all the bad things that's happened. It's our job to fan the flame and keep the fire burning up on the altar. Listen to me. The greatest fallacy of all times is upon us. The teaching that one can be a Christian without taking up the cross. A teaching that grants eternal life and pardon from sin. And yet makes no requirements for separation from sin. This new teaching says behavior and conduct are not relative to our salvation. So they've turned the sheepfold into a zoo. There shouldn't be anything in the sheepfold but sheep. But listen to me, there's still one thing that will get the world's attention, and that is Holy Ghost fire burning down inside our bosoms. So old hurts and misunderstandings. You say, well, Brother Rich, I've been hurt. Oh, and that's why I don't get in. That's why I don't serve God like I should. I used to really get in there and worship. I used to get in and let God use me. But I've been hurt. If you've been in holiness very long, somebody has done something or someone has said something that hurts you. But no matter how much you can justify your hurts, you cannot justify the fact that the fire is going out on the altar of your soul. You better get some wood and put it on the fire and fan the flame. I've been hurt too. We've all been hurt sometime or another. Oh yes. Hallelujah. I apologize to you out there if you're one of them that's been hurt by the church or the body of believers. If this pastor's hurt you, I apologize for this pastor. If any of these other ministers have hurt you, I apologize for all of these ministers. If I have hurt you, then I apologize. Is that enough? Go ahead and carry out the ashes now and get back down to the altar and start fanning the fire and fanning the flame. Hey, you cannot unring a bell once it's been rang. And if I step on your freshly shined shoes, I cannot unstep on your toe. All I can do is say, brother, I'm sorry that I stepped on your toe. Forgive me. Now let's carry out the ashes and get back to the altar and fan the flame that the fire might burn on and on and on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's let the Holy Ghost show us what a real revival is in this camp meeting. The Apostle Paul probably was hurt more than anyone else other than Jesus Christ in the New Testament. He enumerates his many hurts in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28. Paul says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, by the perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in the perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness, beside all these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. How about it, Paul? Are you going to stop and stir the ashes of your old hurts? But he tells us in Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. If something has happened that's dampened your spirit, forget it and carry the ashes out and fan the flame. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Let me hurry on. I want to hurry and finish this so we can get back in these altars. But listen to me. Old hurts and misunderstandings. Hey, stop living in the ash pile of old hurts. You say, well, Brother Rich, we're wanting the wind to blow. And that's what Brother King was wanting. And that's what I'm wanting. Holy Ghost wind to blow. But sometimes the Holy Ghost is smarter than we are. Ah, yes. You know, we used to burn wood. Lived out in the country, had a big fireplace. And that thing would take 5 foot wood. That's a pretty good size one. Oh, yes. Sister Rich was gone with the children one day. And I had a fire going. But very cold outside. Around zero there in Oklahoma. And I got to studying and meditating and around the house. And I looked and my fire had just about gone out. And I looked and I had no lighter. I had no kindling. How many knows what I'm talking about? I had some big pieces of wood about that big around, but nothing to get them started with. And I didn't want to go out there in the cold. So I remembered that if you could get enough air blowing on something, amen, it could get it going. So I had a 10-gallon vacuum cleaner out in my garage, one of them shop vacs. And it's the kind you could reverse the hose. Instead of vacuuming, it blew out. And I brought that thing in, plugged it in, got over there and opened those sliding glass doors on that fireplace. And I plugged that thing in and hit the switch. And I forgot about the ashes. Ashes went everywhere. Ashes went everywhere. And I tried to clean up the best I could. For 3 or 4 days, Sister Rich went around there. I don't know where all these ashes come from. You know, some things you just don't tell right away. Hallelujah. Well, listen to me. Listen to me. The Holy Ghost is smarter than we are. We think we want a Holy Ghost revival, and we do. But He may be waiting on somebody to carry out the ashes before the wind blows in this place. But if we'll carry out the ashes, Holy Ghost fire will blow and burn in this place once again. Oh! Hallelujah! The fire shall ever be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. Hallelujah. But it's up to you and I to keep that fire burning. The third ash pile I want to deal with, and I will be finished. It's the ash pile of past failures. Am I the only one in this house that's ever failed God? I guess I'm the only one. I've got the only hand up. Maybe we've all failed him. Oh, yes. But I'm going to tell you something. It's the devil's real slick trick. Oh, to keep you by the ash pile of past failure and keep you stirring those ashes and hold you hostage. Peter, nobody in the Bible in the New Testament failed as much as Peter. But oh, he failed. But oh, that night in that trial, whenever Jesus looked right at him and he heard that cock crow. Oh, yes. He had denied Jesus 3 times. You know what he did? He went out and wept bitterly. That's when he was carrying out the ashes. No wonder Jesus said after his resurrection, go back into the city and tell my disciples and Peter to meet me in a certain room. Peter had carried the ashes out. Hey, if you fail, young people, if you fail, listen to me. If you fail, don't let the devil hold you down by that failure. When I first started trying to learn to drive a car, my brother older than me brought his car over. We lived out in the country, about a half of a quarter of a mile. We had a gate. We turned into the house. I was coming up this hill doing pretty good, driving that car. I was getting ready to turn in that gate. My brother said, better slow it down. Well, I was trying to slow it down, but I accidentally got foot on the gas. Set the brake. One of them clutch jobs. You remember those, don't you? And I got my foot on the gas, and I went through that gate. I got it stopped, and I got out. I said, I'll never drive again. I'll never drive again. I'm through. My brother said, yes, you're driving this car onto the house. I said, no, I'm not. I'm finished. I'm through. I'll never get behind the wheel again. My brother, being 5 years older than me, he said, boy, you're driving that car all the way to the house, ripped off his belt. Said, you want me to use this thing on you? Get behind that wheel and drive that car onto the house. I'm glad that I did. I couldn't have made it down here if I'd have given up on that failure. Hey, don't stop. If you make a mistake, if you fail, carry out the ashes and get back to the altar, and the fire will burn once again on your soul. I felt in the earlier prayer that there'd be some minister here tonight. Oh, and your ministry's being hindered by ashes of past failures. Don't let that stop you. If you failed, you shouldn't have failed. If you backslid, you should not have backslid. Maybe you looked at something you shouldn't have looked at. Maybe you said something you shouldn't have said. But don't let the devil keep you there the rest of your life, stirring that ash pile of failures. Oh, don't let him make you bitter. Simon Peter, he went on out. He went bitterly, but he got the ashes carried out. Hey, preachers, it's the fire that brings results. Oh, yes. I preach a lot in Europe. Used to preach more before Sister Rich got so sick. Switzerland and Germany and the Ukraine and Russia and Siberia and Austria and in Croatia, Albania and Kosovo. I've been all of those places preaching. So I was preaching a conference in Switzerland for Brother Paulus Fischer. And there were people there from 9 different countries. Well, when I got home from that meeting, and later on Brother Paulus asked me to come back and preach again. And then I got a fax over my fax machine from Germany. Somebody from Germany had been in that meeting and heard me preach and invited me to a church in Germany. So there's a man over there by the name of Samuel Haller. He can speak and interpret 7 languages. Sure, a good guy to have with you in Europe, you know. Oh, yes. Speaks 7 different languages. So I called him and I told him, I said, I've been invited when I come back to Switzerland to preach one night in a certain church in Stuttgart, Germany. He said, oh, no, Brother Rich, you have not been invited there. I said, oh, yes, I have. He said, I believe that's an Orthodox church. He said, you think we're quiet and dead? I said, when do you get there? He said, man, it is so dead. I said, we live close by, within 3 hours driving distance. None of us can get an invitation there. You was not invited there. I said, you have a fax, brother? He said, yes. I just turned around and sent the fax that I'd received, a copy of it, to him. I said, yeah. Called him back. I said, I got it, didn't I? He said, yes. I said, will you go with me to Germany and interpret? He said, yes, I'll go. And so, when I got over there and preached for Brother Paulus Fisher, the time came for me to go to Germany. Brother Samuel and I went over to Stuttgart, Germany. That's where they make the Mercedes-Benz, the BMW, and the Porsche. All of those factories are right there in Stuttgart, Germany. I got over there. I never seen a fancy church so fancy. Architectural work was out of this world. And they had five pastors. Pretty good sized church. They had, young people, they had a brass orchestra with all kinds of instruments. Some great big horns, some little horns, flutes, and they had a maestro leading that thing. Boy, I felt strange in that place. Oh, it's like it was strange. They played them old hymns, and they were beautiful the way they played them. Finally, come time to preach. Brother Samuel said to me in English, "Now take it easy, Brother Rich. You only got one night. You've only been invited for one night. Take it easy now. You're just here for one night." Now he's looking at it that way, and I'm looking at it this way. If I only have one night, I better give them all that I can give them, because I got one chance, one opportunity to preach to these people. So I opened up and I started preaching. All through my message, Brother Samuel say to me in English, "Brother Rich, you better slow down now. Do you really want me to say what you just said?" I said, "Sir, I've got you with me to interpret, not do the preaching. You just interpret, and I'll be responsible for everything I preach. Come on, let's go." And boy, I preached on. Whenever the service, when my message was over and I gave the invitation, we didn't have much of a response. Some prayed a little bit. And finally, we were around the altars. It was about over. And an usher come in and said, "Brother Rich, the pastors are in the Congress room in here. And they want to see you in there." And I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, the pastors are in there. They want to see you." I said, "Come on, Brother Samuel." He said, No. "You preach it. You go back there. You preach it. You go." I said, "No, they can't understand me. You've got to go with me. Come on, let's go back there." He said, "No, I'm not going." I said, "Oh, yes, you are. Come on here. Come on, I'm paying you for being here with me. I'm feeding you. I'm putting you up. You come on back here with me." We went back. There was all five of those pastors around a big table. And then here was the committee around the table. This main pastor, older man, sat down at the end of the table. And he asked me a few questions on the Bible. And then he said, "Brother Rich, the reason we invited you back here to talk to us, we want to extend our invitation four more nights." And he started crying. He said, "You've got fire. You've got fire. We used to have it, but we don't have it anymore. You've got fire." I preached that the rest of that week, and folks were literally running to the altars. I've been back three or four times to that church. Oh yes, those people are pretty wealthy. They've sent me as high as $2,500 to my account to help me in my mission. Good people. They just never did have the fire burning in a long time. Hear what I'm telling you. If you have a problem with the fire, all you've got to have is oxygen. But you can have so many ashes that there can be no oxygen there. Nothing to live off of. You say, "Well, Brother Rich, I've got good material. I've got all kinds of books. I've got programs. I do my sermons on a computer. I've got all of this." Hey, that's not the problem. They're your material. Oh, the problem is the ashes and the fire. You've got to have the fire burning upon the altar. I'm just about finished. But listen, Jesus said in Matthew 12:29 or 12:20, "A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench." Young people, if you're so weak like this young man that came in here today, and I ministered to that young man right back here, aren't you the one? Yeah, over there. I ministered to him. If you feel so broken like he did and down, Jesus is saying, "I'm not going to finish breaking you in two." And if there's just the least bit of spark, he's not going to put that fire out. No, he's going to fan that fire. For a smoking flax, he will not quench. Son, he wants to help you, wants to set you on fire for him. And one thing I know now, the drier the material, the easier it is for it to catch on fire. Some of you about ready to blaze up, aren't you? Hallelujah. Listen to me. I'm just about finished. Wherever there is holy fire, there is holiness. I said, wherever there is holy fire, there is holiness. Say, I want holiness. Wherever the fire is burning, there is holiness. When Moses was out on the backside of that desert and he saw that bush burning and he turned aside because it was burning, yet it was not consumed. He said, I will turn aside and see this thing. Why? The bush is burning, yet it's not consumed. As he started drawing near, God said, take the shoes off your feet, for the ground on which you stand is holy ground. That's why I don't believe the charismatics have this Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This is holy ground. I say, this is holy ground. Listen. Oh, listen to me as I close. How many would like to receive a greater experience in God? Hallelujah. Hey, preachers, we've got to stay on fire. Some of the young preachers here have asked me already, I've just been here one day and this makes two nights, if they can use some of my sermons. Yes, you can, boys, but don't water them down. Hallelujah. Don't water them down. You can use them, but don't water them down. Listen to me now. They said an old preacher preached a message, and he had a good response. And then a young preacher heard him and said, would you give me the notes to that message? He said, sure will. He said, not only that, but we've taped it. We've got it on cassette. You can have the tape and the notes. He said, okay, I'll take it. I want to preach it with your permission. Old preacher said, go ahead, son. Boy, listen to that sermon over and over and over. Got it down word for word. Finally got an invitation and went and preached it. No response. He came back. Asked the old preacher. Said, I preached that message word for word. And I got no response. What happened? The old preacher looked at him and said, son, you had the message on ice, but I had it on fire. Oh, that makes all the difference in the world. Would you stand with me, please? Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Not tomorrow night, not next week, but tonight. Let's see your hands. Everyone that would like to receive, then hurry to this altar right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you want to receive that Holy Ghost, come on. It's available. Oh, God will fill. Oh, fan that flame. Now, how many out there in the audience will just be honest and say, Brother Rich, I feel like I need to carry out some ashes tonight so I can get the fire burning on the altar of my soul. Lift your hands quickly. There are several hands going up. Go ahead and carry them out. Carry them out tonight and fan the flame. Oh, if you're here and you're lost and undone without Jesus, come. Come now. Accept the Lord as your Savior. Whatever your need is, come on quickly. Come on quickly.